So here it is. Here we come to the paramount question. Why did God purpose the fall, sin, tragedy, adversity, catastrophe, pain, suffering, all natural and moral evils? The answer to this question can never be exhaustive. It's continuously happening, and we could ask this question, why did this happen anything?
Right.
Death of a child, traffic accident,
so there's all kinds
tsunamis.
Of details that we can, you know, wonder about and, right. and ask about and consider. But he's not going to talk about all of these details, right?
Right. We want to see the forest and then maybe the trees if we're lucky. There will always remain certain mysteries, irresolvable conundrums and tensions, and there may be countless numbers of lesser reasons for a specific instance of evil, some ascertainable, but most not. And, you know, we talked about several episodes ago that unless if we have scripture revealing to us why God kind of allows certain evils, you're not
or
really
anything,
gonna get, good or bad. Yeah. You kind of have a hard time of saying this because of this.
Right.
So, you know, the Exodus, there's a specific purpose that God has and there's actions that are taken and he says, I do this so that, and there you can kind of have a fortified moment. But even like the story of Job, you know, Job says, show me what I've done wrong. And God just doesn't answer him on why this is, and he covers this.
So if he doesn't answer Job, why would we think he'd answer us?
I mean, you know, if Job's supposed to be the one that we all turn to when we're having a bad day, so that we can wallow in the misery of somebody else's misery. Yeah, it's a hard one. Yet the overarching reason for the existence of evil itself, as witnessed in the panoramic flow of scriptural storyline, is that God provided a foil by which we could magnify his glory through redemption. And we're going to see that theme covered a lot here is God's glory.
Right, exactly. So Christensen tells us that just as conflict propels the yearning for resolution in the telling of great stories, even so the introduction of evil, he tells us, and the rising action of the plot line of history itself ignites a burning thirst for redemption, and that that can't be satisfied, and it can only be satisfied by, he says, a surprising climax, right?
Right.
And that is at the cross and the empty tomb. These moments these events epitomize the greatest story of all, bringing the greatest glory of all to its incomparable divine author, right? So it's bringing glory to God, to the author of the story. And he tells us that he believes this, then, is the theodicy of the Bible.
Right. So here's the answer. So shaping the argument of the greater glory theodicy. Remember that he's kind of brought up five different versions of explanation for theodicy, said here are the positive aspects, here are some of the negative aspects, some have more positive than negatives, some the other way around.
Right. And so he's going to draw from a couple of them and kind of put them together and make them his, right?
Right. Yeah. So he calls it the greater glory theodicy. So as indicated earlier, the solution to the problem of evil represents a specific version of the greater good theodicy. That includes some modified elements of best of all possible world defenses. And if you're watching this on YouTube, at the bottom of the screen, we're putting up some of the text graphics that we did when we covered the first chapter to say, here's what that means. So you're seeing that now, if you're listening to it, go back and listen. Give us another download. That'd be great. Or watch us on YouTube. Hey, look at that. Or buy the book. Even better, buy the book. I call it the Greater Glory Theodicy is what Christensen says. So because it seeks to demonstrate where God's glory is most magnified or maximized. Where does God obtain the most amount of glory in a story, in the story of history? And so he says, this is it, and it's a needed, all the details are needed in order to tell it. To remove one removes a characteristic that God can't be able to do. He has to form this on the necessity of evil is what he's trying to do. So the greatest good is what will bring God the greatest glory, and his greatest glory will always be tied to the greatest good.
Yes,
and so he is the source of that goodness. That's
exactly.
You know, when we talk about the greatest possible being, Anselm, or if we're talking presuppositionally, we're always trying to lead people to that is to what gives God the ultimate glory, because he's the ultimate being in whatever way. So that's what we're usually trying to do, and so that's why this one might ring true for us, maybe.
Yeah, Good. So that's, you know, and so the basic idea here is God does all that he does for his glory, right? And so he's going to give us an argument, three premises and a conclusion to kind of lay out his theodicy, right? So let's kind of summarize the argument real quickly, and then mm-hmm. we'll kind of do a deep dive as what he does right. into each of the various premises, right? So the first premise, God's ultimate purpose in freely creating the world is to supremely magnify the riches of his glory to all his creatures, especially human beings who alone bear his image. So God's, you know, is trying to magnify his glory. Mm-hmm. Right? Secondly, God's glory is supremely magnified in the atoning work of Christ, which is the sole means of accomplishing redemption for human beings. So God's magnifying his glory. He accomplishes that in the atonement of that Christ brings. Thirdly, redemption is unnecessary unless human beings have fallen into sin, right? You don't need to redeem somebody that hasn't fallen into sin. And then lastly, his conclusion, therefore, the fall of humanity is necessary to God's ultimate purpose in creating the world. All right, so that's kind of it. His ultimate purpose is to bring glory, his glory to all his creatures. He does that mainly through the atoning work of Christ. Redemption is unnecessary unless you have fallen creatures. And so the fall of humanity and all the stuff that comes with that is God's ultimate purpose in creating the world. You know, I mean, it's necessary for this accomplishment of God's glory. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. So if you make a mistake on a painting, you can kind of utilize that as kind of an idea of instead of having the picture that you originally entailed without that one mistake, then you couldn't have, you wanted a dark background, but here you're going to utilize paint that you dripped on the canvas and you're going to make a tree that stands out. Well, then it becomes something that it wasn't able to be before, which was to spotlight this tree. So your painting might change perspective on this. Not a perfect analogy, but right. but by saying that if we could just remove evil, then this world would still be exactly how God wants it, and all the manifestations of God would still be available to us. What Christian's saying here is that that's not the case. You needed God to not accidentally, but to drop the paint on the canvas. Yeah. So
God
that
knew exactly what he was doing when he dropped the paint, right?
Right.
Because
right.
he was trying to
yeah.
accomplish something, and that what he was trying to accomplish right. is to portray his glory, reveal his glory to all creation, and especially human beings. And in order to do that, redemption had to be accomplished. And of course, in order for something to be redeemed, it had to be, mankind had to
yeah.
be right in the place where they needed redemption.
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly.
And so there we have the fall and all of the outcome of it. And God did that. It was necessary for him to do that in order for redemption to happen, and redemption reveals God's glory. So mm-hmm. that's the basic idea.
Right.
Here.